Chapter 8. Tools for Preaching. Producing Literature for the Worldwide Field. Focus of Chapter. Jehovah continues to provide us with the tools we need to teach individuals from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Paragraphs 1 and 2. Question A. In the first century, what helped to spread the good news throughout the Roman Empire? Question B. What evidence do we have of Jehovah's backing in our time? Visitors to Jerusalem could hardly believe what they were hearing. Galileans were speaking foreign languages fluently, and the message they were conveying captivated their listeners. It was Pentecost, 33 CE, and the disciples had miraculously received the gift of speaking in various languages, proof that they had God's backing. Acts 2, 1-8 reads, "Now while the day of the festival of Pentecost was in progress, they were all together at the same place. Suddenly there was a noise from heaven, just like that of a rushing, stiff breeze, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues, as if of fire, became visible to them, and were distributed. And one came to rest on each one of them. And they all became filled with Holy Spirit, and started to speak in different languages, just as the Spirit enabled them to speak. At that time, devout Jews from every nation under heaven were staying in Jerusalem. So when this sound occurred, a crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Indeed, they were utterly amazed and said, 'See here, all these who are speaking are Galileans, are they not? How is it then that each one of us is hearing his own native language?'" Verse 12 reads, "Yes, they were all astonished and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" Verses 15 to 17 read, "These people are, in fact, not drunk as you suppose, for it is the third hour of the day. On the contrary, this is what was said through the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days, God says, I will pour out some of my Spirit on every sort of flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams.'" The good news they preached that day reached people of diverse backgrounds and thereafter spread throughout the Roman Empire. Today, God's servants do not miraculously speak in various languages. Even so, covering far more languages than in the first century, they translate the kingdom message into over 670 languages. God's people have produced literature in such vast quantities and in so many languages that the kingdom message has penetrated every corner of the globe. The footnote reads, "In the past decade alone, Jehovah's people have produced more than 20 billion Bible-based publications." In addition, our website, jw.org, is now available to the more than 2.7 billion people worldwide who access the Internet. End of footnote. This, too, is unmistakable evidence that Jehovah is using the King Jesus Christ to direct our preaching work. As we review just some of the tools we have used to accomplish this work over the past 100 years, note how the King has progressively trained us to be interested in individuals and has encouraged us to be teachers of God's Word. The following is supplementary information. Good news in more than 670 tongues. In 2000, the governing body authorized an unprecedented training program for all translation teams worldwide. The first step was the development of a 3-month course on English comprehension, which was presented by 25 instructors to 1,944 translators who were working in 182 language teams. This course helped translators gain a complete understanding of the English text before starting to translate it. Besides dealing with aspects of the English language, the course taught translators how to analyze the text and be aware of such features as its structure, tone, style, purpose, and intended audience. A second course was developed in 2001 by a pool of experienced translators. This course focuses on specific translation techniques. All the translation teams around the world have now been put through this training program. In addition to organizing the training courses, the governing body established a translator help desk. Whenever a translation team needs help in understanding the source text, or is not sure about how a translation technique should be applied in a specific case, they can electronically submit their question to this desk. When the question raised is editorial in nature, the translator help desk consults with the compiler or main editor of the publication. Once a question is answered, it automatically becomes available not just to the team that originated it, but to all translation teams around the world that are working on that same publication. The answer is stored in a database that any translator can easily access. In that way, any team facing similar translation problems can benefit from the direction given. How has this training helped the translators? One said, "The training we have received grants us the freedom to explore techniques for handling the original text, but it also sets reasonable boundaries that prevent us from taking over the role of the writer. Now we feel like fully equipped explorers, ready to take on a challenge every day, knowing well where to go, what alternate routes to take, and when to stop." As of 2013, more than 2,700 translators were working in over 190 locations to help spread the good news in more than 670 tongues. This remarkable work is possible only because it has the backing of the King Jesus Christ. Returning to the chapter, the King equips his servants to plant seeds of truth. Paragraph 3. Question: why do we use a variety of tools in our preaching work? Jesus likened the word of the kingdom to seeds and a person's heart to soil. Matthew 13:18-19. Just as a gardener may use a variety of tools to soften the soil and prepare it to receive seed, Jehovah's people have used a variety of tools that have helped them prepare the hearts of millions to receive the kingdom message. Some of those tools were useful for a limited time. Others, such as books and magazines, continue to do valuable work. Unlike most of the methods of mass communication mentioned in the preceding chapter, all the tools discussed here have helped kingdom publishers contact people face to face. Paragraphs 4 and 5. Question: how were phonograph records used, but what did they lack? Recorded talks. In the 1930s and into the 1940s, publishers used recorded Bible lectures played on portable phonographs. Each recording lasted less than 5 minutes. Sometimes the records had short titles such as Trinity, Purgatory, and Kingdom. How were those records used? Brother Clayton Woodworth, Jr., who was baptized in 1930 in the United States, said, "I carried a little suitcase-type phonograph, spring-wound, with a portable arm that I had to set in just the right position at the edge of the record if it was to play properly. I would approach a door, open the case, set the arm in place, and push the doorbell. When the householder opened the door, I would say, 'I have an important message I would like you to hear.' What was the response? Many times," says Brother Woodworth, "the person responded favorably. At other times, people just shut the door. Occasionally, they thought I was selling phonographs." By 1940, over 90 different recorded talks were available, and over 1 million records had been made. John E. Barr, who was pioneering in Britain at that time, and who later served on the governing body, said, "During the years 1936 to 1945, a phonograph was my constant companion. In fact, in those days I felt lost without one. To hear Brother Rutherford's voice at the doorstep was ever so encouraging. It felt as though he were there in person." Of course, phonograph work still lacked the teaching aspect of the ministry, the ability to touch the hearts of people. Paragraphs 6 and 7. Question A: what were the benefits and the limitations of using testimony cards? Question B: In what sense has Jehovah put words in our mouths? Testimony cards. Beginning in 1933, publishers were encouraged to use testimony cards in their door-to-door ministry. A testimony card was about 3 by 5 inches in size. It contained a brief Bible message and a description of Bible-based literature that the householder could obtain. A publisher would simply hand the card to the householder and ask him to read it. "I welcomed the testimony card work," says Lillian Camerood, who eventually served as a missionary in Puerto Rico and Argentina. Why was that? "Not all of us could give a good presentation," she said, "so it helped me get accustomed to approaching people." Brother David Roush, who was baptized in 1918, observed, "Testimony cards helped the brothers, for very few felt that they were able to say the right thing. This tool had its limits, though. Sometimes," said Brother Roush, "we met people who thought we could not speak. In a sense, many of us were not able to speak. But Jehovah was preparing us to meet the public as His ministers. Soon He would put words in our mouth by teaching us to use the Scriptures at the door." This was accomplished through the Theocratic Ministry School that began in the 1940s. Jeremiah 1:6-9 reads, "But I said, Alas, O Sovereign Lord Jehovah, I do not know how to speak, for I am just a boy. Jehovah then said to me, Do not say, I am just a boy, for you must go to all those to whom I send you, and you should say everything that I command you. Do not be afraid because of their appearance, for I am with you to save you, declares Jehovah. Then Jehovah stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And Jehovah said to me, I have put my words in your mouth." Paragraph 8. Question. How can you allow Christ to train you? Books. Since 1914, Jehovah's people have produced over 100 different books that discuss Bible topics. Some of those books were specifically designed to train publishers to be effective ministers. Anna Larsen, in Denmark, who has been a publisher for some 70 years, says, "Jehovah helped us to be more effective publishers by means of the Theocratic Ministry School and the associated books we received. I remember that the first of those books was the Theocratic Aid to Kingdom Publishers, released in 1945. It was followed by Equipped for Every Good Work, published in 1946. Now we have Benefit from Theocratic Ministry School Education, published in 2001. Certainly, the Theocratic Ministry School and related books have played a key role as Jehovah has adequately qualified us to be ministers. 2 Corinthians 3:5-6. Are you enrolled in the Theocratic Ministry School? Do you bring the ministry school book to the meeting each week and follow along as the school overseer refers to it? If you do, you will be allowing Christ to train you to be a better teacher. Paragraphs 9 and 10. Question. What role have books played in planting and watering seeds of truth? Jehovah has also assisted us by having His organization provide books that help publishers to explain basic Bible teachings. The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life was a particularly effective book. It was first published in 1968 and had an immediate impact. Demand for the truth book has been so heavy, stated the November 1968 Kingdom Ministry, that in September the Society's Brooklyn factory added a special night shift. The article went on to explain, "At one time during August, the demand for truth books exceeded the supply by over 1.5 million copies." By 1982, over 100 million copies of the book had been published in 116 languages. In the 14 years from 1968 to 1982, the Truth Book helped to add over 1 million Kingdom publishers to our ranks. The footnote reads, "Some other Bible study aids that have helped publishers teach Bible truth are The Harp of God, published in 1921, Let God Be True, published in 1946, You Can Live Forever in Paradise on Earth, published in 1982, and Knowledge That Leads to Everlasting Life, published in 1995. End of footnote. In 2005, another outstanding Bible study aid, What Does the Bible Really Teach?, was released. Some 200 million copies have already been published in 256 languages. With what effect? In just 7 years, from 2005 to 2012, about 1.2 million people became publishers of the Good News. During that same period, the number of people studying the Bible with us climbed from about 6 million to more than 8.7 million. Without a doubt, Jehovah is blessing our efforts to plant and water seeds of kingdom truth. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7 reads, I planted, Apollos watered, but God kept making it grow, so that neither is the one who plants anything, nor is the one who waters, but God who makes it grow. Paragraphs 11 and 12. Question. In harmony with the cited scriptures, what audiences were our magazines designed to reach? Magazines. Originally, the target audience for the Watchtower was primarily the little flock, those with the heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:1. On October 1, 1919, Jehovah's Organization released another magazine, which was designed to appeal to a different audience, the public. That magazine became so popular with the Bible students and the public that for many years its circulation was far greater than that of the Watchtower. That magazine was first named The Golden Age. In 1937, the name was changed to Consolation. Then, in 1946, it became known as Awake. Over the decades, the style and format of the Watchtower and the Awake have changed, but the purpose has remained the same, to advertise God's kingdom and build faith in the Bible. Today, the Watchtower is produced in a study edition and a public edition. The domestics are the intended audience for the study edition, that is, both the little flock and the other sheep. The public edition is prepared especially for those who do not yet know the truth, but who have a respect for the Bible and for God. Awake focuses on those who know little about the Bible and the true God, Jehovah. Paragraph 13. Question. What do you find remarkable about our magazines? By the beginning of 2014, each month, more than 44 million copies of Awake and some 46 million copies of The Watchtower were published. Awake was translated into some 100 languages, and The Watchtower into over 200, which made them the most widely translated and distributed magazines on earth. As remarkable as those achievements are, they should not surprise us. These magazines contain the message that Jesus said would be preached in all the inhabited earth. Paragraph 14. Question. What have we zealously promoted and why? The Bible. In 1896, Brother Russell and his associates changed the name of the corporation they used to publish literature so that it included the word Bible. It became known as the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. That change was appropriate because the Bible has always been the primary tool for spreading the good news about the kingdom. In harmony with the legal corporation's name, God's servants have zealously promoted the distribution and reading of the Bible. For example, in 1926, we printed on our own presses the Emphatic Diaglot, a translation of the Christian Greek scriptures produced by Benjamin Wilson. Beginning in 1942, we printed and distributed some 700,000 copies of the entire King James Version. Just 2 years later, we began printing the American Standard Version, which uses Jehovah's name in 6,823 places. By 1950, we had distributed over 250,000 copies. Paragraphs 15 and 16. Question A. What do you appreciate about the New World Translation? Question B. How can you allow Jehovah to touch your heart? The year 1950 saw the release of the New World Translation of the Christian Greek Scriptures. The complete New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures was released in one volume in 1961. This translation honors Jehovah by restoring his name to the locations where it appeared in the original Hebrew text. The divine name also appears 237 times in the main text of the Christian Greek Scriptures. To ensure that it is as accurate and readable as possible, the New World Translation has been revised several times, most recently in 2013. As of 2013, more than 201 million copies of the New World Translation have been published in whole or in part in 121 languages. How have some responded to reading the New World Translation in their own language? A Nepali man said, "For many, the old Nepalese translation that we had was difficult to understand since it used classical language. But now, we can understand the Bible so much better, as it uses the language of everyday life." When a woman in the Central African Republic began reading the Sango translation, she started to cry and said, "This is the language of my heart." Like that woman, each of us can allow Jehovah to touch our heart by reading His Word every day. Grateful for the tools and training. Paragraph 17, question: how can you show that you appreciate the tools and training that you receive, and what will be the result if you do so? Do you appreciate the tools and progressive training that the King Jesus Christ has given us? Do you make time to read the literature God's organization produces? And do you use it to help others? If so, you will relate to the comments of Sister Opal Bettler, who was baptized on October 4, 1914. Opal said, "Through the years, my husband, Edward, and I used the phonograph and the testimony cards. We witnessed from house to house with books, booklets, and magazines. We went on campaigns and marches and distributed printed proclamations. Later, we were trained to make backhauls, now referred to as return visits, and hold Bible studies in the homes of interested persons. It has been a busy and happy life." Jesus promised that his subjects would be busy sowing, reaping, and rejoicing together. Millions like Opal can testify to the truthfulness of that promise. John 4:35-36 reads, "Do you not say that there are yet 4 months before the harvest comes? Look, I say to you, lift up your eyes and view the fields, that they are white for harvesting. Already the reaper is receiving wages and gathering fruit for everlasting life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together." Paragraph 18, question: what privilege do we have? Many who are not yet servants of the King might consider God's people to be uneducated and ordinary. Acts 4:13. But just think, the King has caused his ordinary people to become a publishing powerhouse, producing some of the most widely translated and distributed publications in history. More important, He has trained and motivated us to use these tools to spread the good news to people of all nations. What a privilege we have to work with Christ in planting seeds of truth and harvesting disciples. How real is the kingdom to you? How does our translation work prove that we have the King's backing? What facts about our publications prove to you that the kingdom is real? What can you do to show appreciation for the tools that the King provides? The following is supplementary information. World records for publications. Total number of books published. Bible. All Bible translations, in whole or in part, combined, over 5 billion. King James Version, 1 billion. New International Version, over 400 million. New World Translation, over 201 million. Other books. Quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong, estimated at more than 1 billion. What does the Bible really teach? Over 201 million. Number of languages into which a text is translated. Listen to God and Live Forever, 477. Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 413. Enjoy Life on Earth Forever, 359. Would You Like to Know the Truth Tract, 364. Most Published and Widely Translated Magazines. The Watchtower, 45.9 million per month in 212 languages. Awake, 44.7 million per month in 99 languages. AARP, the magazine, 22 million bi-monthly in English only. Liahona, about 500,000, at times nearly 50 languages. Speeding Up Bible Translation. By 1989, the New World Translation had been published, in whole or in part, in 11 languages. To help fill the growing need for the New World Translation, the Writing Committee of the Governing Body arranged for training courses to help translators approach the work systematically and efficiently. The MEPS Programming Department developed a computer program called the Bible Translation System. The footnote reads, "The Bible Translation System is now part of a program called Watchtower Translation System, which is used worldwide by thousands of translators." End of footnote. This program does not translate the text, but it does help translators to organize their work and easily access reference material. Devoted translators, trainers, and support personnel have worked hard to help produce Bibles in language after language. As a result of those efforts, by 2004, the New World Translation was available in over 50 languages. Just 9 years later, in 2013, there were 121 language editions of the New World Translation available, and the number continues to grow.